But if you have your Bibles, won't you turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, please? Just want to preach, and we do want to pray for people this morning as well. Just feel it'll be good to do that off the back of God's presence in our meeting this morning. Wasn't it wonderful? Malusi and the team, thank you so much. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. Okay, so let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come to your word this morning, and we do pray you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So Masalas asked me to preach on the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. We were also praying for folk in our Connect course to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so I want to preach on a passage that you may be familiar with out the Old Testament from 2 Kings. You get 1 Kings and 2 Kings chapter 4. And then from that, just bring out a few points of faith for us this morning. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 4, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. In the Old Testament, if you got yourself into a lot of debt, you could sell your children as slaves to pay for your debt, and then 7 years later, the year of Jubilee, you'd get them back again. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. And he said, go outside and borrow vessels from all your neighbors and empty vessels and not a few, not too few. So they then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, she brought the vessels, they brought the vessels to her. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. And then the oil stopped flowing. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Amen. Thank you. It's great to come to God's word this morning. So folks, there were, in the Old Testament, there were these company of prophets that used to kind of move together under Elisha and Elijah and in different places. They operated during the time of the kings, and sometimes there were wicked kings, sometimes there were good kings. But the good news is that God's work continues no matter what the political situation is. Can you say amen? And here we have, the situation was under wicked King Ahab, but the prophetic ministry, God's word, and God's people were still operating under that situation. But here was a woman who was a single woman. Her husband had died, and she was trying to raise sons. He was a godly man. He'd been ministering, but he'd left her in debt, and she was really in trouble. And after last night, I just want to commend all the single parents amongst us. We had our grandkids last night. I was ready for bed at 7 o'clock, yesterday evening, pretty exhausted. And I just want to say it's amazing. If you're a single parent raising kids, and I know there's a number in this church, I just want to say well done. You guys are amazing. I've forgotten how to do it. And, Jack and Ellie wore me out yesterday. And, so well done. And this woman was in a similar situation. She was raising two boys or more boys. We don't know. And she was in trouble. She was in trouble financially. And what you could also do is you could have a kinsman redeemer, someone in the family who could redeem your debt, and help you. But she didn't have anyone to help her. And so she turned to the Lord for help. And I just want to draw a few points out. I want you to see, first of all, that she brought her need to God. She brought her need to God. She cries out to Elisha for help. She'd learned from her husband to get a word from the Lord and not just to try and work it out herself, but to come to the Lord, to come to the household of faith, if you like, and to present her request there and to get a word from the Lord. And Elisha steps in, and we need to be prepared to step in as well. But I love this woman because she wasn't just prepared to work it out herself. She wanted to hear from God. She wanted something from the Lord. She wanted a miracle for herself now. She needed God. And I just feel this message is so relevant. Only 35% of South Africans kids grow up with both parents, and here's the single woman, and she's has a need, and she's really under great stress, but she's calling on the Lord, and she's going to God, she's going to Elisha, say, what shall I do at a time like this? It's so great when we do this. It's good when we pray and turn to the Lord in times of need. And what I want you to notice, I just want to preach on this for a bit, but we'll come to the oil in a moment and the vessels, but I want you to notice that she was reviving a family tradition. She continued to model something for her children, even though her husband was gone. She was modeling something. She was helping her kids to know when we're in trouble, we take things to God. When we have a need, we pray together in this house. And her sons were watching her. I can see some single moms nodding here. She was taking things to God. We give thanks and we present our requests to God. And friends, it's so important to have these traditions, these kind of gospel habits in your home. As Christians today, it's so important. If you look in the Bible, you'll find that in Luke 2, Jesus was taken up to Jerusalem. It says his family used to go every year according to tradition. You'll find in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the traditional hour of prayer. And so there were these traditions in the life of the early church that they used to put into practice. When Shannon and I got married, my family at least, we came from 5 generations of non-Christians. And they had their own traditions as well. One of the traditions they had was gambling. I think I've told you before, and going to horse races. And I grew up as a little guy on the racetrack, particularly with my grandfather, who was a bookmaker. And so the July gallops and all the rest of it were very big in our family. We used to play cards. We loved gambling. When I was a Christian, I remember I had to leave that behind because I also loved gambling, because I grew up in that family tradition. But when we got married, we had to establish some of our own traditions. We had to think, well, we're Christians now. And what do we establish in our own home? And we established some monthly traditions in giving. Initially, I was a Bible student. I had a little book. I used to get gifts and I used to write it in and tithe on those gifts. And we established traditions coming to church. And when we face major decisions, asking God for a word, a prophetic word to help us. Lord, give us a scripture. We don't just want to make decisions without you speaking to us. When we had kids later on, and we raised our kids, we used to read the scriptures to them in the morning until they got a bit older. But we used to do that for years and years. These were traditions. These were our value system we had. And your values are the things you do. And they flow out of your theology, if you like. You can have a great theology of marriage, but your values need to be to spend time with my wife. That's kind of your priority. It flows from your theology. And they flow from scripture. And friends, it's because we believe this is God's world. Can you say amen? We believe God created this world and he's given us principles to live by, a biblical worldview. Dave's been teaching so excellently on that on a Sunday evening. Come along and hear him. My wife was there last week. She said, Dave's just incredible. These African worldview and a biblical worldview. It's so helpful. But if you're a Christian and we read the scriptures and we believe in the scriptures, then God's given us truth to live by. Not just our theology, not just the scriptures, but there's also values and practices and principles that come from the scriptures as well. Moral guidance for life. And Proverbs is a book like that. It's full of such wisdom. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so as Christians, our wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God gives us immediate direction in our lives, but he also has a big vision for our lives. And friends, the Bible gives us that today, and it's so very, very important for us to realize that. And this widow was living in a prophetic community where she understood you could get answers outside of yourself. You could go to the Lord and you could go to his word, and you could go to his community, and you could get answers when you were in trouble. You could look outside of yourself. But unfortunately, over the last 100 years, society has gone through a shift as we've moved away from God's word and his truth, and we've lost that. And now you have to decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong. We don't believe anymore in society in God's truth. And so we're living in a post-truth society where even the news, we're not sure if we should trust the news. Is it fake news? I know that's Trump's favorite saying. Or is it real news? Because we live in such a society where we can't trust what's going on around us. And it's big. Michael Cassidy, in this excellent book on getting to the heart of things, he says, our world seems to be a very strange place, a place we've never been in before. Nothing seems to be sure. Nothing seems to be steady. Old foundations and values seem to have gone, and new ones are trying to take root, but they're not being tested. It's like standing on shifting sand. In many ways, we seem to be living between two worlds. One world is past, with a culture dead and dying, and the other one hasn't yet been born. We're kind of adrift in between. We're in brackets. We're cut off from the past, but we're not sure how to live in the future. And this is the world we live in today, particularly if you've been born since 1980 and you're a millennial. It's a very different world to the world I was born in as a baby boomer. So if you were born from 1946 to 1965, you're a baby boomer. I won't ask you to put your hands up. If you were born from 1965 to 1980, you're part of, I think they call it Generation X. And if you're born from 1980, which both my kids were, to 2000, you're part of the millennials, the millennial generation. And it's a very, very different world where it's picking and mixing, where you have to work out your own thing, where there's my truth and your truth, and tolerance is the order of the day. And we're seeing it today in society, particularly in the area of sexuality. There's great confusion today with sexual identity. And we need to hold on to what we believe as Christians. I was listening to a TED talk the other day. My wife said to me, you need to listen to this. And it was fascinating. It's quite amusing as well. And this woman, Helen Pearson, and she was talking and she said, she was doing a talk on raising kids. And she said, she made a big point of saying in the UK, it was a UK study, and she said, they have now surveyed thousands and thousands of families and children over decades in the UK, scientifically. And she was saying they've learned so much from those statistics. And we were sitting watching this the other day, Shannon and I, on TED Talks, and she said, and she's building up about the survey and thousands of statistics and all the people they've served. And then she makes her point and she says, what they have discovered is, if you put your kids to bed at the same time every night, they will do better at school. And people are saying, wow, that's incredible. Writing it down. She said, yes, they've proved this scientifically. And I'm listening to them and thinking to myself, isn't that just common sense? Isn't that how my family brought me up, even though they were unsaved? Isn't that what people used to do? Because there was just general wisdom around that still came from the gospel, if you like. Such values as over bedtime and disciplining of kids and giving your seat to an older person. If they're 58 or older, getting up when they walk in the room and giving them your seat, it comes from Leviticus 19:32. Believe it or not. Standing up when a woman comes into the room, we used to do that. paying your debts when you're in debt. It was kind of like a thing you were supposed to do, like this widow. She kind of stepped up into it. And friends, there was wisdom around that seems to be kind of missing these days. And we need to come back to God's word again. And we need to ask God to help us to not just hold on to the scriptures, but the wisdom that comes from the scriptures. Because it'll help you to live better. These biblical values, holding on to God's wisdom, just as this widow did. There was a obituary printed in the London Times that says, "Today we mourn the passing of our old friend Common Sense, who's been with us for many years. No one knows for sure how old he was, since his birth records have been lost. But he will remember as having cultivated such valuable lessons as knowing when to come in out of the rain, why the early bird gets the worm, life isn't always fair, and maybe it was my fault. He's preceded in death by his parents' truth and trust, by his wife discretion, by his daughter responsibility, and by his son reason. He's survived by his four stepbrothers. I know my rights. I want it now. Someone else is to blame, and I'm a victim. And not many attended his funeral because so few realized he was gone." So all I'm saying, I'm joking a bit this morning, I'm being a bit naughty, but all I'm saying, guys, is let's thank God for his word and these principles that flow from them. And that's what the widow did. She was in debt, and she stepped up to her debt, and she said, "How do I pay this off?" And she went to the man of God. Amen. And so secondly, we find that Elisha gives her a word to stretch her faith. He gives her a word to stretch her faith. And I think that's what God's doing with a number of us right now. It's a season for stretching faith. So he gave her the word, but she had to go home and put the word into practice behind closed doors. And there's a number of things we can learn from this. First of all, that God works with what we have. God works with what we have. What has God given you? He said, "What have you got?" And she said, "I've just got a little bit of anointing oil." I think that's what they use to anoint the sick. He said, "I've just got a bit of anointing oil." Elisha said, "God will use that." You remember Jesus, when they were feeding the 5,000, he said to the disciples, "What have you got?" They said, "We've got nothing except this little boy's lunchbox. We're so hungry. We looked through. We saw he's got some loaves and fish." Jesus said, "Bring that to me." And God uses what you have, friends. That's what he does. God loves it when you give him what you've got. "Bring that to me." And when you do that, God begins to move in your life. We find that with this widow, she gave him the little she had, and God began to multiply it. It transformed emptiness into fullness. Every container was filled as she continued to pour the oil. The increase happened in her hand, not while the oil was standing there. As she picked it up and began to pour, the miracle happened, and she poured. And she looked at it, and the jug was still full, and she poured. And she poured, and she poured, and she poured until all the containers were full. God gave me a word at the beginning of this year about this church, and God said to me, "I'm going to fill the existing containers in this church." Hallelujah. God's going to fill the existing containers in this house, in this church. And these containers were like, as I meditated on this, they're like Christians that are strategically scattered throughout the neighborhood, throughout the city, but needing filling. We need filling. We all do, because we leak, don't we? And these containers came in dry, but when they left again, they were oily. They were returned oily back to their owners. And friends, that's what God wants from us. And that's what we want to do even this morning as I bring the sermon to a close. We want to pray for one another. We believe we receive the Spirit at conversion. When you become a Christian, the Spirit of God comes and lives within you. But we also need ongoing infillings of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? We need God to keep filling us. We find that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. This great promise of the Father. It says in Acts chapter 2 verse 17, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. And Elisha and the Old Testament believers didn't have that. The Spirit would come upon them and then kind of leave them. And then come on them again and kind of leave them. And then the New Covenant said, there's a day coming, says the Lord, where I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. And the Spirit will remain on us and with us. And here in Acts chapter 4, we find just two chapters later, the believers are filled with the Spirit and they're in a prayer meeting and they're praying for the release of Peter. And as they pray, the Bible says, and when they prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. The Spirit was poured out because Jesus was glorified. Hallelujah. Jesus poured out His blood that the Holy Spirit could be given to the church. When Jesus ascended, it says in Acts 2:32, the Spirit was poured out. Hallelujah. And friends, we just need to keep being filled. We just need to keep on being lubricated and filled by the Holy Spirit. It's not just a once-off thing. There's one baptism, but many infillings. Hallelujah. Just like these containers. We come in dry, need God to fill us. Need God to oil us. I find, particularly in worship, what a sense of God's presence there was this morning. Just such a wonder. There's a growing sense of God's presence in this place. There's a growing sense of God's presence. The glory of God. I love that sign. The glory of God is manifesting in this church, in this place. As we gather, as we worship, and as we look to Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll not leave you as orphans in John 14. I will come to you and manifest myself among you. Hallelujah. And we need to expect that. We need to expect these ongoing infillings from the Lord. And so my last point is this. As those jars were filled, God's provision became her testimony. Became her testimony. When God moves in your life, it becomes your testimony. It renewed her faith. She saw the oil being poured. She saw the looks on the faces of her children. And she was able to sell the oil and pay her debts. And the community said, what happened to you? How did this happen? She had a testimony. It's different from your theology. It began indoors, but it spread outdoors and it impacted the whole area around her. She had this testimony. And you'll find when God moves in your life and does things in your life, God will give you with that a testimony. Hallelujah. A testimony. Say, God did this for me. It was so good to hear Pumzile's testimony this morning. I walked into that room and God started speaking to me. I thought that's just wonderful. She has a testimony. And so friends, as I close, this widow, she trusted God. She revived a family tradition. She was in trouble. She says, what did my husband do? What? Oh yeah, we used to pray. Let me do that. Let me call on the Lord. She called on Elisha. And I would encourage us to keep reviving those family traditions. Keep doing it. And you'll find God blesses you. And then as she obeyed and the oil started to flow, God ministered to her economically, spiritually. It impacted her family. I would encourage you to do these things with your children. I would encourage you in your family to, if you haven't already, to establish these value systems. To pray together. Let your kids see that. I was reading Jack a story last night. I was falling asleep. He was bright-eyed and I was reading him a story. And there was a picture of Jesus on the cross. He said, Grandpa, there's Jesus dying on the cross. And I thought, he's 3 years old. He understands already. He's got it. It's in his thinking. It's in his heart. It's at work. And I would encourage us to hold on to these values and to speak to your kids and to pray with your kids and to establish these traditions that come from God's word. Read through the book of Proverbs. There's so much wisdom in God's word for life and for godliness. It's wisdom in working clothes. Hallelujah. And as this widow did that, God met with her. It impacted her family. It changed her economic situation. And the community got to know about it. And I would say to us, let's trust God for a similar outpouring here in Grace Gen and in your life and in my life. Amen? Let's do that today. Can we do that? Are you up for that? So am I. Hallelujah. So before you go, I just want the band to come up. And I just want us to sing that song again, Our Father Who Art in Heaven. I know we've sung it a few times, or maybe you've got another song you'd like to sing. But let's sing it together. And let's stand together and let's look to God this morning for a fresh infilling. Can we do that? As we sing, somebody came to me in the worship and they said to me, we need to pray for people this morning. I said, yeah, I know. Do you think we should pray for them now? Because we want to pray for them after I've preached. We want to pray for one another now. We want to pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've come in like those containers, a bit dry. God wants to fill you today. God wants to touch your life today. He wants to lubricate your life with the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. Amen.